Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 24, entitled Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Text number 35. Text number 35. There's 20 verses without purport, so I'm going to read through the translations, the English translations. When I get to text number 55, there's a short purport. So I'm going to read that text, the verse and the purport as well, and then we will quote together, chant together, text number 56. I'm going to read text number 34 just to tie in text number 35 onward. This was the verse that was spoken on Saturday. The sun god said, O beautiful Prita, your meeting with the demigods cannot be fruitless. Therefore, let me place my seed in your womb so that you may bear a son. I shall arrange to keep your virginity intact since you are still an unmarried girl. After saying this, the sun god discharged his semen into the womb of Prita and then returned to the celestial kingdom. Immediately thereafter, from Kunti, a child was born, who was like a second sun god. Because Kunti feared people's criticisms, with great difficulty, she had to give up her affection for her child. Unwillingly, she packed the child in a basket and let it float down the waters of the river, O Maharaj Parikshit. Your great-grandfather, the pious and chivalrous King Pandu, later married Kunti. Vridasharma, the king of the Karusha, married Kunti's sister, Shrutadev, and from her womb, Dantravakra was born, having been cursed by the sages headed by Sanaka. Dantravakra had formerly been born as the son of Diti, named Hiranyaksha. King Drishtaketu, the king of Kikaya, married Shrutakirti, another sister of Kunti's. Shrutakirti had 5 sons, headed by Santardana. The womb of Raja Raja Didevi, another sister of Kunti's, Jayasena, begot 2 sons named Vinda and Anuvinda. Similarly, the king of the Seti state married Shrutarshrava. The king's name was Damangosha. The son of Shrutashrava was Shishupal, whose birth has already been described in the 7th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Vasudeva's brother, Devadbhaga, had 2 sons born of his wife, Kamsa. These 2 sons were Chitraketu and Brihadbala. Vasudeva's brother, named Devarshrava, named Kamsavati, by whom he begot 2 sons named Shuvira and Ishuman. Kanka, by his wife Kanka, begot 3 sons named Baka, Satyajit, and Purujit. King Srinjaya, by his wife Rashtrapalika begot sons headed by Vrisha and Durmarshana. King Shamaka by his wife Surabhumi begot two sons named Harikesh and Haranyaksha. Thereafter, King Vatsaka, by the womb of his wife Mishrakeshi, who was an apsara, begot sons headed by Vrika by his wife Durvakshi, begot Taksha, Pushkar, Shalana, and so on. From Shamika, by the womb of his wife Sudamani, came Sumitra, Arjunapala, and other sons. King Anaka, by his wife Karnika, begot two sons named Ritadama and Jaya. Devaki, Poravi, Mohini, Bhadra, Madhira, Rochana, Ila, and others were all wives of the Anukandudubi Vasudev. Among them all, Devaki was the chief. Vasudev, by the womb of his wife Rohini, begot two sons as Bala, Gada, Sarana, Durmada, Vipula, Dhruva, Krita, and others. From the womb of Poravi came 12 sons, included Bhuta, Subhadra, Bhadrabahu, Durmada, and Bhadra, Nanda, Upananda, Krataka, Shura, and others were born from the womb of Madhira. Bhadra, Kaushalya, gave birth only to one son named Keshi. Vasudev, by another of his wives, whose name was Rochana, begot Hasta, Hamangada, and other sons. And by his wife named Ila, he begot sons headed by Urukalka, all of whom were chief personalities in the dynasty of Yadu. From the womb of Dhritadev, one of the wives of Anakadundumbi, Vasudev, came a son named Viprishta. The sons of Santidev, another wife of Vasudev, were Prashama, Prasita, and others. Vasudev also had a wife named Upadeva, from whom came 10 sons, headed by Rajanya, Kalpa, and Varsha. From Sri Devi, another wife, came 6 sons, named such as Vasu, Hamsa, and Shuvamsa. By the semen of Vasudev in the womb of Devarakshita, 9 sons were born, headed by Gada, Vasudev, who was religion personified, also had a wife named Sahadev, by whose womb he begot 8 sons headed by Shruta Pravana. The 8 sons born of Sahadev, such as Pravana and Shruta, were exact incarnations of the 8 Vasus in the heavenly planets. Vasudev also begot 8 highly qualified sons through the womb of Devaki. These included Kirtimam, Shushena, Bhadrasena, Riju, Samardana, Bhadra, Sankarshan, the controller and serpent incarnation. The 8th son was the personality of Godhead himself, Krishna, the highly fortunate Subhadra. The 1 daughter was your grandfather. Purport. The 55th verse says, Shama Eva Hari Kila, indicating that Krishna, the eighth son of Devaki, is the supreme personality of Godhead. Krishna is not an incarnation. Although there is no difference between the supreme personality of Godhead Hari and his incarnation, Krishna is the original supreme personality of God. Krishna is the original supreme person, the complete Godhead. Incarnations exhibit only a certain percentage of the potencies of Godhead. The complete Godhead is Krishna himself, who appeared as the eighth son of Devaki. Okay, so this verse we'll do together. Yada yada dharmasya. Yada yada dharmasya. Chayo vridishcha papmanaha. Shayo vridishcha papmanaha. Tadatu Bhagavan Isha. Tadatu Bhagavan Isha. Atmanam Srijate Hari. Atmanam Srijate Hari. Yada yada dharmasya. Chayo vridishcha papmanaha. Tadatu Bhagavan Isha. Atmana Srijate Hari. Someone else, please. Dai dai dharma sha. Dai dharma sha. Dari Dharmasya. Tanaha. Tadatu Bhagavanisha. Ladies, please. Dai Dai Dharmasya. Tadatu Bhagavanisha. Amanam Shajate Hari. Dai Dai Dharmasya. Yada. Whenever. Yada. Whenever. He. Indeed, dharmasya, of the principles of religion, chaya, deterioration, vridhi, increasing, cha, and papmana, of sinful activities, tada, at that time, to indeed, Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Isha, the Supreme Controller, Atmanam, personally, Srijate, descends, Hari, the Personality of Godhead, Supreme Personality of Godhead. Translation, whenever the principles of religion deteriorate and the principles of irreligion increase, the supreme controller, the personality of Godhead, Sri Hari, appears by his own will. Purport, by his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The principles by which an incarnation of the supreme personality of Godhead descends upon earth are explained in this verse. The same principles are explained in Bhagavad Gita, 4th chapter, verse number 7, by the Lord Himself. Yada yada dharmasya glanir bhaviti bharata abhyutanam dharmasya tadatmanam jujamyaham. Whenever and wherever there is a decline in religious practice, O descendant of Bart, and a predominant rise of irreligion, at that time I descend myself. In the present age, the Supreme Personality of Godhead has appeared as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to inaugurate the Hare Krishna movement. At the present time, in Kali Yuga, people are extremely sinful and bad, manda. And they have no idea of spiritual life and are missing the benefits of the human form to live like cats and dogs. Under these circumstances, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has inaugurated the Hare Krishna movement, which is non-different from Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If one associates with this movement, he directly associates with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. People should take advantage of the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra and thus gain relief from all the problems created in this age of Kali. Om Gyanatam Anandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshu Umilitam Jaina Tasmai Sri Gurudeve Namaha. So I was thinking when we were reading through all the different names that I'm sure that all of us have experience before we were devotees, whether we were into sports or we watched certain movies, read articles in the newspaper, that we were able to get into detail. We knew in sports, I know myself, I knew many rosters of baseball teams, their batting averages, how many home runs they hit, somewhat their schedule, the stadium, the seating capacities, history behind it all. So I can really go on and on about that. So in the same way, it's important for us to study and learn all the details of all these different pastimes and even the names of each of the individuals, although it might be a bit of an exercise, as we see when we're reading. It's a bit of an exercise to pronounce all the names, to read them all, what to speak of remembering them and being able to say them back by memory. But it is possible. Anything is possible by the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So in this particular age, as backed up here in the Bhagavad Gita, Yadai Yadai Dharmasya Glanir Bhaviti Bharata Abhyutanam Dharmasya Tadatmanam Shujamyaham. Krishna is telling Arjuna that whenever and wherever there is a decline in religious practice, O descendant of Bart, and a predominant rise of irreligion, I descend myself. So in this age of Kali Yuga, Krishna has come as Lord Chaitanya to spread the holy name of the Lord, those three words that we chant every morning, Hare Krishna and Rama. And this is the means for deliverance in this age of Kali Yuga, is the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. We know that verse, Harinam, Harinam, Harinam eva kevalam, kalo nastevena, stevena, stevena, gatiranyata. In this age of Kali, which is full of quarrel and hypocrisy, the only means to become self-realized is the chanting of the holy name. It is the only way, it's the only way, it's the only way. Even this morning, I was woken up at about 2:45 by some very loud quarreling right out here on the sidewalk. And there was yelling and screaming between two people. And, you know, I was thinking as I was woken up that this age of Kali, there's so much quarrel. And at some slight provocation, there's argument, there's fighting, there's violence. Of course, shortly thereafter, the situation was taken advantage of because the police had come and taken care of the situation. So in the same way, this chanting of Hare Krishna in this particular age, we can abandon, we can take ourselves out of this material consciousness and become and put ourselves in the take ourselves out of the material consciousness and put ourselves into this spiritual consciousness by which we can, become peaceful. We can become peaceful in this age. Now, there's some really nice verses in the fifth canto, fifth chapter, where Lord Rishabhdev instructs, how many sons? 100 sons. Just imagine having 100 sons. So he instructed his 100 sons. And the first verse is Nayam deho deha bijamraloke kastam katam kaman arte vidbujamye tabodivyam putarakyena sadvam shudyad yasman brahmashokyam tvarantanam. Lord Rishabhdev told his sons, "My dear boys, of all the living entities who have accepted material bodies in this world, one who has been awarded this supreme form should not work hard day and night simply for sense gratification, which is available even for dogs and hogs that eat stool. So then what should we do? One should engage in penance and austerity to attain the divine position of devotional service, by such activity, one's heart is purified. And when one attains this position, he attains eternal blissful life, which is transcendental to material happiness and which continues forever." Also, the fourth verse of the fifth chapter, fifth canto, Nunam pramatak kurute vikarama yad indriyaya priya pritaya aprinoti nasadomanye yato atmanoyam asana biklesha asadeha. When a person considers sense gratification the aim of life, he certainly becomes mad after materialistic living and engages in all kinds of sinful activity. He does not know that due to his past misdeeds, he has already received a body which, although temporary, is the cause of his misery. Actually, the living entity should not have taken on a material body, but he has been awarded the material body for sense gratification. Just see, Krishna is so kind that he fulfills our desire. Whether we are interested in material life or spiritual life, Krishna fulfills our desire. So we have to be very careful what we desire in life, because Krishna may just fulfill that, whether it's good for us or not. Krishna may fulfill that desire. And look, we all have these material bodies, and this came from previous lives, from previous desires, and now we're in this human form of life. Of course, now we're all here in the associating with this Krishna consciousness movement, which is non-different than Krishna himself. We all had a desire to understand something higher than we had been that we have already learned, or something that we had been experiencing, you know, previous to coming to this movement, because everything rests on desire. So somehow we desired to, understand who is in control of everything, who is God. I know for myself, I remember sitting on the end of my bed, looking out my window, looking towards the east and the sun rising, and just imagining that at any time this huge personality could just walk into my neighborhood, something very large, larger than the buildings in New York City, very big personality. I didn't have any knowledge of this, but I had a feeling that possibly there has to be something that's something that's bigger than us. And so, I even remember asking God, if you exist, please, show me who you are. Show me where you are. I know you exist, but where are you? And I have to admit that I would even sometimes, say before a test in college or in high school or in elementary school, I would pray, oh, please, God, help me with this test that I can do well. And then somehow, okay, I did very well. Or, I would run a track meet or play football or whatever I was doing material, I would ask God to fulfill that need. And somehow or another, a lot of times I would do very well with it. So then I started to believe more and more that God existed. Then in 1976, I had a motorcycle accident where I almost lost my life. And being in the hospital for 2 months, I remember beginning to pray to God. I had all these tubes hooked up and pins in me and all. It was quite a horrible situation, and even losing blood pressure at one point and, almost not making it through. But I still remember praying, God, if you exist, please, if you can show me who you are. All right, I'll pray more. I'll go to temple more. Well, I survived, and as soon as I survived, then I met the devotees, and I realized, well, this is it. God is fulfilling that prayer. So, prayer is very important, and when we pray, as we do every morning, Krishna can hear our prayers. So be careful what you pray for. So actually, like Lord Rishabhdev says, the living entity should not have taken on a material body, but has been awarded the material body for sense gratification. Therefore, I think it not befitting an intelligent man to involve himself again in the activities of sense gratification by which he perpetually gets material bodies one after another. Mm-hmm. So, in this age of Kali, as Srila Prabhupada writes in this purport, that we just read in Srimad Bhagavatam, they have no idea of spiritual life, and they are misusing these benefits of the human form of life to live like cats and dogs. So, as said in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna comes to annihilate, to save the pious, and to annihilate the miscreants. So, here we have it. We have Krishna in the form of this Hare Krishna movement. And yes, Krishna does come, but it's our duty to spread this Krishna consciousness all over the world in the form of chanting Hare Krishna, in the way of distributing books and helping human society to not live like cats and dogs. We are so fortunate to be sitting in this room before Rukmini Dwarkadish, before the Lord Jagannath, before all these beautiful deities, before Srila Prabhupada. And through the chain of the cyclic succession came Srila Prabhupada, came these books. So now we can take what we've been given and we can distribute it and get the mercy ourselves and give it to those who are less fortunate, although they are fortunate in the sense of being born in this and living in this age of Kali Yuga, because the means for self-realization is quite simple. I was thinking when we were speaking just now about the deities and Srila Prabhupada and the chain of the disciplic succession. Just imagine for a moment, and we've all seen it on the footage where Srila Prabhupada is here in Los Angeles. Srila Prabhupada actually sat right here. We see where Srila Prabhupada came in through his door, came through the door, and stood right in front of the deities. Just imagine, right there. And then came to the next altar and then offered his respects, his obeisances to Rukmini Dwarkadish. Came out over here, looked around. So the pure devotee of the Lord who's come in the chain of the disciplic succession, actually, not only was he in this room, but he is in this room. Because not only is there's Vani or Vapu in the personal form, but there's Vani and he lives in his instructions. So Srila Prabhupada is actually present here in his instructions. And he's instructed us to give this knowledge to others. So some way, in some way, shape, or form, take a moment, tell someone about Krishna, give a book to someone where their life can actually become purified. They can become happy in life. And then they don't live like the life of a cat or a dog or a hog. But they can come to the level of understanding, you know, spiritual life. They can understand higher knowledge, that which goes beyond what is taught in college. And we see for our devotees that go out on to the universities, you know, a lot of these students, they have a lot of knowledge. And they're smart. A lot of these students are very smart. However, they're studying the wrong things because, of course, it's important to have some material knowledge for a career so they can support themselves. But you have to go beyond that because without spiritual knowledge, then everything is Shramayiva Kevalam, is a useless waste of time. So there's also in the Bhagavad Gita, Yada Yada Yadharmasya, verse 4-7, but then there's also verse 4-8, which follows the same. Parichanaya sadunam vinashayacha jirkshitam dharma samstap. What is this? Thank you. And I know this verse very well, and I've studied it before, and now I get up here and I can't say it. Sambhava mi yuge yuge. To deliver the pious and to annihilate the miscreants, as well as reestablish the principles of religion, I advent myself millennium after millennium. So again, this is not just by some artificial, by chance that all this has come. Krishna has a perfect plan, and we are very much part of that plan. So we have a very big responsibility to spread this all over the world. And the other night when we were in Harinam in Santa Monica at the promenade, I said to Govindadat Prabhu, I says, boy, it's just so nice to be out here chanting and giving the holy name to all the people that are walking around here. And it was very nice to have, you know, all of your association. As I look, I see this, so many of you devotees were out on Harinam, and it was so ecstatic. And thank you for all your dancing and your chanting out there. It really benefited a lot of people, a lot of those that we saw, and a lot of those entities that we couldn't see. So I said to Govindadat Prabhu, I says, this is just so ecstatic being out here. It's so refreshing. Like Srila Prabhupada said when he drank the 7-Up, very refreshing. It was very refreshing. And then Govindadat Prabhu said back to me, he said, just imagine Srila Prabhupada would go out on Harinam by himself. In New York City, in Tompkins Square Park, in front of that tree, and he would sit down with cartels and he would just start chanting Hare Krishna. Now, 50 years ago, let's fast forward now. Look where ISKCON is now. Look where the Hare Krishna movement is now. Just imagine throughout the whole world, from New York to San Francisco, and then wherever else Srila Prabhupada went and spread Krishna consciousness, and then wherever he had delegated and requested other devotees to go to spread Krishna consciousness. Now look through Europe, Eastern Europe, through India, the United States. Krishna consciousness is everywhere. And even some people I run into, they'll say, you know, I haven't seen you guys in a while. I was wondering where you've been. It's good to see you. I gave a book to someone last night here at the feast. He said, I had this Bhagavad Gita a long time ago, and I read it, or I read parts of it, and then I don't know what happened to it. So here it is. He just happened to come here. He hasn't been here for a very long time, and he brought his family. Someone else who I know, he came up to me last week. He said, do you remember that book that you had given me, the one on reincarnation? I said, yes. I said, how do you like it? He says, well, I went to Vegas and I had the car washed and it was sitting there right there on my seat. And when it came out of the car wash, or I got down the street, I looked around and I realized he didn't know where the book was. So he was a little disappointed. So he says, do you happen to have another one? And I did. I keep books in my car as well. So I gave him the book and he was really happy. And he said, I'm gonna make sure I read this and keep it in a safe place. So, you know, you never know how the books are going to be distributed. You never know how this philosophy, you're never going to know how the message, you never know how Krishna in his form of the books are going to end up in someone's home. And even if they don't read it, that's okay. Because it's non-different. The book is non-different than Narayan and it sits on the shelf. And believe me, they'll sit there, they'll see that book. Narayan is actually in their home. So there's a lot we can say. There was a lot of reading to do this morning. So I want to stop here and see if anybody has any comments or questions. Okay, if we can get the microphone, please. So, Prem Sankirtan Prabhu, I'll start with you, please.
Prabhuji, what's your opinion about Murti of Srila Prabhupada? Is it his real there, or this Murti just represents?
Okay, so the question is, what's my opinion on the Murti of Srila Prabhupada?
Did you hear from your own?
Well, Srila Prabhupada is non-different than his purports, what he's saying. Srila Prabhupada is non-different than his Murti. Srila Prabhupada is present here. Just like, I believe it was San Fran, and I don't like to say I believe because that's speculation. In San Francisco, when Srila Prabhupada was leaving, the devotees there were a little bit of anxiety, like, oh, Srila Prabhupada, what are we going to do? You're not here. What can we do? So Srila Prabhupada instructed them to put a picture of him on the Vyasasan. Srila Prabhupada also approved of the Murti, of this Murti. I can tell you a dream that I had, and it's just a dream. I was in the old Henry Street Temple in New York, and there was a lot of senior Vaishnavas there. I remember Tamal Krishna Maharaj was there, and I remember that Vishnu John Swami was there, and there was a lot of senior devotees, a lot of sannyasis were there. And after Prabhupada would give class, he would say, okay, now let us have kirtan. So Srila Prabhupada was sitting up on the Vyasasana and he was looking around at all the devotees, and you have all these wonderful singers there, and no one started the kirtan. And I was sitting on the floor at the side of the Vyasasana looking up at Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada looked around, no one chanted, so Srila Prabhupada got off the Vyasasana. When I looked down, here were his slippers that we've seen in many different places. We've seen Srila Prabhupada's slippers. So Srila Prabhupada got off the Vyasasana, he slipped his feet into the slippers, and I touched the slippers, held the slippers, and Srila Prabhupada slid his feet into the slippers. And then I touched my head, and then Srila Prabhupada tapped my head. And I looked up, and Srila Prabhupada smiled, and I smiled, and Hare Krishna, Jai Srila Prabhupada. So then Srila Prabhupada started walking to one door to the right, and all the devotees started following him. Well, there was a door to the left, and I thought, okay, I'm going to run to that door, and then I'll run out in the hall, and I'll get in front of everybody. Well, when I got out into the hall, Srila Prabhupada was being carried out of the temple room. But it wasn't Srila Prabhupada personally. It was Srila Prabhupada in the form of his murti that they were carrying up the stairs. So the message I got from that is that Srila Prabhupada was trying to tell me that I am my personal form and my murti form are non-different. That's the message that I got. So does anybody else want to add anything else to anything that Srila Prabhupada said about the murti? Okay.
It reminds me of a dream I had where once Srila Prabhupada called me on the phone and he reiterated the exact same instructions that my guru had said to me several times. And I heard his voice and I was like, my heart was beating out of my chest because it was Prabhupada telling me the same exact thing that Srila Virabhava Maharaj had said to me. So that confirmed to me.
Jai. So Eric, I know you had a question. We'll just take a few moments, and if it's anything of length, then we can finish speaking it outside.
Jai. Thank you, Prabhu. I was just curious, there were some examples like where Krishna married, 16,108 wives, and so usually that's explained as, because Krishna is omnipotent, he can do whatever he likes, he can expand himself into innumerable forms. But how do we explain other situations like Maharaj Chitraketu or this other example like a few days ago, who are just, they seem like they were just, not ordinary personalities, but they were human, human beings. How do we understand when they also perform some feat that seems, impossible?
Okay, I'm going to answer that in short, because we could definitely get into a conversation about that, and perhaps also we can, you can include some other devotees. But the long and short of it that I can offer is that when we first became devotees, we had no idea of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We had no idea. If we saw Krishna for the deity for the first time, we had no idea that even Krishna was God. We didn't know who Srila Prabhupada was. We didn't even understand the difference between matter and spirit. So with that being said, there's a lot of things in the books. There's a lot of things in Krishna consciousness that are still beyond our understanding. We can understand it in theory. We can understand it in philosophically. But, like when you look up at night, let's say, you see the stars and you see all these different planets. We can understand where it all came from. Aham Sarvasya Prabhavo. Everything emanates from Krishna. But to really grasp, deeply where everything came from and how it was done, it's still a little beyond us, so beyond me. So in that way, there's still a lot of purification for us. You know, we've only been chanting Hare Krishna anywhere from 1 year to 50 years. And there's a lot to learn. There's a lot to understand. Some things we have to just accept on faith. Could you bring the microphone? We have to understand, you know, just on faith. Because there's been other things that have been told to us, and we see that it's happening and it's real. So therefore, you know, we have faith that what something that someone else, that Srila Prabhupada is saying, or that we read in the books, is true. Archita Prabhu, go ahead.
But on this particular point, we don't have to accept on faith. We have direct experience of so many living entities in the insect world, in the fish world, who give birth to hundreds of times more progeny than human beings do. So in certain circumstances, the Lord can certainly empower human-like beings to do the same. You know, sometimes two little fish get together and they can produce a cluster of 100 offspring. So if two little fish can do that, why not human beings? Again, we're just limiting ourselves because in our experience, generally human beings have 1, 2, maybe 5 children. But even amongst humans on this planet, there are human beings. My sister goes to a church where she has a friend. This couple, they already have 13 children. And we know that in the act of copulation, a man produces so many sperms. All of them theoretically could impregnate an egg and come out. So in one act of copulation, you could theoretically produce hundreds, if not thousands, of children. So it's not a great stretch of the imagination to accept that they're human-like personalities who can generate thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of offspring, because we know the capability, the potential is there in any one of us.
Some of these personalities live for 100,000 years,
right,
or more. So you take that into consideration, it wouldn't be something far-fetched.
True. Yeah, we're trying to understand, almost like the frog in the well. Sometimes we try to understand, and it's a little bit of a stretch for us to try to understand that. Yes, Rabindranath Prabhu?
Yes, mentioned in the Krishna book, and what you're talking about is Prabhupada, the difference between Prabhupada and Smriti. Prabhupada explains in the Krishna book in this when Krishna steals the garments of the gopi girls, and they were worshiping goddess Durga, he mentions in there that Lord Vishnu and the respective demigods are identical with their deity forms.
Could you repeat that last point again, please?
It's mentioned that that Lord Vishnu and the demigods are identical with their deity forms.
Mm.
So if the demigods could be non-different from their deity forms, then the spiritual master could also be like that.
Yes. All right. Well, thank you very much. Hope you all have a wonderful day in Krishna consciousness. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
I have a little present for you. Maybe Jerry could come and get it.
Wow.
This one is not fitting it actually. You push it from here all the way like this. Can you push it like this?
Yeah, and this was upside down. This was, and I couldn't get it out.
Now
see, now I can push it, but this thing was pointing down.